This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 373, I think, of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. Joining me once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Good evening, everyone.
It's like the two Ronnies.
It's a good evening from me, and it's good evening from you. I would like to dedicate this episode.
Oh.
In a genuine, serious dedication.
Oh, okay.
To Hilda Clayton.
Okay, who's Hilda?
Hilda Clayton was a 22-year-old war photographer.
Right.
Who died in Afghanistan in 2013.
Oh.
And she's been in the media a bit this week, and she photographed the explosion that killed her.
Wow.
And it's incredible. Her and four other Afghan soldiers, amazingly powerful shot. It's powerful because you know the consequences of the shot.
Yeah, right.
I guess it's probably the way to phrase it. So I've got the link in to a little bit about her. And her parents have held on to the photograph and not allowed it to be shown for 4 years whilst they grieve and come to terms with things. But they've now released this photograph and to honour her and quite amazing. And the shot is astounding. And the guy who's in the photograph also died, one of the four Afghani soldiers who died.
Yeah.
It was basically just a training accident.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, a photographer, so young and apparently she was fearless in doing, always wanted to be out there. She felt her role. And this is a time when America were in Afghanistan as a supervisory role, as a training role, trying to help the country reestablish and so on.
Yeah.
And so she felt it was her job as the war photographer to be out there showing all the things that they were doing to help.
Yeah, right.
Trying to put positive spin on this horrible situation that's been for so many years. And so she's out there photographing how they're training the police and training the Afghan military and all this sort of stuff. And she was photographing a training exercise where they were being taught and this mortar exploded.
Oh.
But to have full explosion and shrapnel flying at the camera in the shot is just absolutely astounding.
Wow.
Yeah, it's up there with some of the most powerful war photos I've ever seen. So I'd start to dedicate this episode, short as it may be, today to her. Just after, I don't know.
I
just
would you say she's 23?
She was 22.
22?
Oh, yeah.
Too soon.
Absolutely. You know, as I always say, I want to die in my sleep like my grandfather did. Yeah. You know? Not screaming like the passengers in the back seat.
Yes.
That's the old saying goes. And my kids and I were discussing today, because there's this rumour going around today that Prince Philip from England had died.
Right.
The rumour was.
Yes.
It turns out he's not. He's just gone on semi-retirement. But, I was talking to my kids and talking about death, and they go, oh, that's so sad. I said, yeah, but you know what? He was 95.
He's 96.
Yeah. 95, 96. That's, if you could be, I said to my youngest, my eldest, she's 9 going on 10. If you could be guaranteed right now that you could live to 96, guaranteed, go out and have a massive do it, versus the uncertainty of who knows what, which would you choose? And she chose the 96.
Yeah, right.
Because, and even to a child who's, everything's infinite anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, she still understood that. Yeah, hey, that's a pretty decent innings, you know.
Yeah.
If you were guaranteed that, you could go into all sorts of crazy shits. Survive. But so that's pretty good. So it's just you look at the difference between this young girl at 22 and this guy at 96. You know, one person's had a hell of a long life and an amazing thing. And I was thinking about, funny, before the news came out, about what catastrophic impact if it was the Queen that had died.
Yeah.
Because in Australia, all our currency has the Queen on it.
Yes.
Would they have to repeal all currency? Would they have to have transitionary currency? I was just trying to think about what the implication was.
Yeah.
Our current decimal system has been in place since 1966.
Yep.
And she's been Queen since then, so it's always been her. Well,
she was Queen long before that.
Exactly. But I mean, so our currency has always been her. And what an astounding change one person's death could have on a civilization.
Yeah.
It was a funny day for thinking about death.
I did see a story pop up in my Facebook feed about how all of the staff, like the head honcho staff to the royal family, had all been summoned at 3 a.m., which kind of rang alarm bells in the media.
It's
you know,
strange, isn't it?
Made
you know?
Them think.
You know what it was? I reckon someone's got. Oh, no, it meant to schedule the email to go out at like 9 and hit the wrong button. It went at 3 and set the world in a panic. You know,
wouldn't that be funny?
I said to my wife, I think one of the corgis may have died. You know, something like that. You know, so viral disaster. anyway, so how's your week been? Any good?
Yeah, it's yeah.
You almost said that like you meant.
I put out a casting call on Model Mayhem, as you suggested.
Excellent. And how did you go?
I've had one response.
You didn't show him your photos, did you?
No, I just said, you know, I haven't been shooting enough and I want to be shooting some more. I'm looking for a model and a makeup artist to be happy to do a TFP shoot.
Yeah, so since you get the makeup artist, that's a lot harder. I would have got a model that can do her own makeup.
Yeah.
Because the problem is you sort of almost putting the pressure on the model to know a makeup artist. Yeah, isn't it? Someone who's new and young and starting out, she goes, oh, you know, if you put the, it can do her own hair and makeup, well, most girls can kind of do that.
Yeah.
You know? And they'll feel reasonably comfortable.
Yeah.
Whereas as soon as you start being put the word makeup artist, they think it's a much more serious shoot. Yeah. Or maybe I'm not good enough yet for that.
Yeah.
See all the other little implications?
Yeah.
Yeah. So start slow. Work your way. But it could also be your location too. Are in the middle of the boondocks, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes, because there's nothing between Sydney and Newcastle.
So your next thing to do would be to approach dance schools.
Okay.
Drama schools.
Right.
And say, look, I'm a photographer. Here's my work, here's my card, whatever, here's my website, so you show you legit.
Yep.
I just want to put an offer out there if anyone wants some headshots doing. It can start off, even if you just do some headshots for someone, you build that relationship, say, well, how about a bit of quid pro quo? How do you feel about doing something like this with me?
Yep.
Yeah, and you could even say, look, I'm available for some headshots, for some creative photos if you want, something like that, and make some other approaches that are not less threatening but more local at least.
Okay.
It'd be there's lots of ways to find models, you know, and often all you need to do is find one because they know lots of other people.
Yeah, I was going to say they start spreading your photos around and suddenly you're inundated with others wanting
exactly.
The so same it's, thing.
Yeah, and they'll find you non-threatening.
Yeah,
which is good, and away you go.
Yeah,
so keep at it. Yeah, this is a good exercise for everybody. So I reckon you should put another casting call up.
Yep.
Alongside the other one, so you have two up there, but one without mentioning the makeup artist and no experience necessary.
Right.
Wording.
Okay.
Okay, so then you've got sort of two on the go and see what kind of responses you get to that one.
Yeah.
But I'm serious because it could be very interesting to see. You might get no change or you might get four people. You never know. But that no experience necessary and not having the makeup artist is a very different approach, and you might find that a little less intimidating to someone just starting out.
Right.
And then find two dance schools, put together a little email with some images, and I'll loan you something if you want. And
thanks, mate.
Now, I've got a bone to pick. I should have done some research, but that's a stupid word. I've done some research. But this week, first up, I must say today, May the 4th be with you.
Yes.
Because it is May the 4th. Yes. And you're supposed to respond with, and also with you.
Oh, okay. And also
May the 4th be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. This week. Someone on Facebook, who said positive and negative. Enjoy the podcast.
I had that on my list of things.
Track. One positive, one negative, and I'll let you figure out who's who. Hey, Bruce, I don't know if I've ever heard anyone call you negative before. That's really insulting.
That was actually Grant Black. That wasn't Scott Cairn.
That was just so insulting for you, my friend. I just want to make sure you're okay.
I'm okay. I'm okay with it.
Had trouble sleeping, maybe, it's bad enough models don't want to work with you, but when people on Facebook start calling you negative as well, it's a very, very bad thing. And I would have said, I wouldn't have called myself positive. I would have probably called myself a realist.
Right. Excellent.
Better way of raising it. But appreciate it, Grant. It's lovely to be thought of as being positive. It made my week.
So for those who didn't see it, Grant wrote on the wall, on our Facebook wall, "Hi guys, I was wondering if you could help me with recommendations for an LED lighting setup. I've been engaged to do headshots for a business, and I was thinking of using an LED light panel on a separate stand to shine a little light on my subjects. It's highly likely that this will lead to shooting in other locations interstate, so I imagine I would need to carry the gear with me when traveling to those locations. Any help would be appreciated. Love the podcast, and you two prove that opposites attract and can make something work. One positive and the other negative. I'll let you work out which one's which."
Gear, you should read out what he wrote.
"Gear I already own is 85mm f1.8, 24-72-8, 7200-2.8, and a couple of Nikkor 910 flash units. Anyway, best regards,
Grant." It's just Nikon with an extra C.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Unless he bought one from China for Nikon.
Yeah, yes.
Con being the operative word.
Yeah, those cheap Chinese knockoffs.
Here's the thing, I think my advice was straight away, is if you've already got a couple of Nikon 8 and 910 flash guns, you don't need an LED light.
No. I guess the only advantage to LED is that it's constant. And so it gives you an opportunity to see how the light is falling on your subject, you know, while you're setting up angles and heights and intensities and all that sort of
Piffle.
Stuff. Look, it's okay for you. You've done your 10,000 images.
Look, I'm positive. I've got to be positive. I'm positive it's piffle. Right. But here's the thing. It takes you 10 minutes. If you're doing headshots, we're not talking about anything glamorous lighting-wise here. We're talking about dead basic flat lighting, okay?
Okay.
So before you go out, you put your aim your flash at a basketball, fire it at an umbrella, see where the light hits, adjust it until you get the light even, job done. Rinse, lather, repeat for every single time you do that shot. It's a 2-minute learning curve.
Okay.
Let's face it, 910s are small and easy to carry around.
Okay.
Compared to LED panels.
Yep.
LED panels run on, most of them run on rechargeable lithium ion batteries.
Right.
Which A, need charging, but B, when they're flat, take a long time to recharge.
Right.
Like I'm talking, depending on the charger, 4, 6, 8, 10 hours to recharge.
Right.
SB910, your batteries run out, you pop a couple more double A's in and you're shooting again.
Yeah.
So it's much faster to replace batteries.
Yeah.
It's much smaller to carry around a Nikon 910 and a folding little shoot-through umbrella.
Yep.
Than a battery charger, batteries, LED panels, et cetera, et cetera.
And a single LED panel is going to be, if not bigger, then at least the same size as your two 910s.
Exactly. The physical size to carry around is going to be bigger than that. And, I mean, there's not much weight to them, which is good. But also, it's an investment you don't need to do.
Yeah.
If you why spend $300 or $600 on lights when you've already got lights?
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, after the first one or two times you do a couple of quick tests, you'll know where to put the lights. If in doubt, do what I always do. Start with 45-45.
Which is?
45 degrees away from you,
mm-hmm.
45 degrees up from you.
Right.
Aim straight at the subject's face.
Right.
That's pretty much the position we see light coming from all the time.
Right.
And if you only had one 910 flash, I'd put a bit of white cardboard on, say you've done that on the right-hand side of you, I'd put a bit of white cardboard or white sheet or something on the left-hand side so a little bit of light bounces back off and fills a little bit of shadow on the other side.
Yep.
But 45-45 is not going to give you particularly unpleasant shadows. It's going to be nice shadows. The umbrella's going to make it nice and soft. And then get it as close as it possibly can to your subject's head without it being in the frame.
Right.
Nice and simple. The easiest lighting system you're ever going to get. Shoot through umbrella and one flash gun. Bang.
Right.
So, Grant, give it. I'm assuming if he's got a couple of 910s.
Yeah.
At some stage, he's done some off-camera flash stuff.
You would think.
Unless he's shooting with two cameras with two flashes on camera.
Yeah.
But he's got some nice gear there. He's got the 85-1.8. Beautiful. Use that as your portrait lens.
Yeah.
Flash on the side. Bing, bang, bong, and away you go.
Yeah.
If you wanted to use both flashes, then I would not quite cross-light. So I have the 45 and 45 for one flash.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have the other one a little further around. Not quite opposite the other flash, but maybe more of a right angle. So what's that, 90 degrees, right. I guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's just going to fill in that little bit of shadow, but you'll still have this slight diminishing of light between where one light is hitting and the other light's hitting, so you have a little bit of shape on the face.
Yep.
Bang. Yeah, a couple of flash guns, a couple of folding umbrellas, very little stuff to carry around and really, really fast to set up.
Yeah.
So let us know how you go, Grant. Let us know what you end up doing.
Yeah, absolutely. We also heard from Scott Cann. And he said, first time
Isn't
listener.
He the gardener?
Well, yeah, that's Cam. First time listener from Nova Scotia, Canada. Got the link Facebook, I think from Joe Edelman. Love the show. I'll try to listen to the earlier ones, but I'm having trouble with your accent.
Scott, now let's stop for a second. So Scott's a newbie.
He's a newbie.
Welcome, Scott. You're listening to number 8 for starters. Look, I've got to tell you, this is what. How many episodes are up to there, Bruce?
373.
373, eh? Because we've got to say the A now.
You've got to say
Canada.
A for a Canadian.
373, eh? Hey, do you know how they got the name for Canada?
No.
They had a big bucket full of letters. And the Prime Minister, in front of all the nation, picked out the letters. He picked up and goes, hey, we've got a C, eh? And then he picks another one. An N, eh? And a D, eh? Canada. We've got a first-time listener, Bruce. Let's mark the occasion. I want to scratch back the dedication to Hilda. Let's make this the slot show tonight. In fact, at least for the next 10 episodes, she'll be all dedicated to our new listener. This is fabulous. He's having trouble with the accents.
Well,
where in England are we from?
Wait till I finish because you might retract that. Where in England are you from?
Well, I'm from Yorkshire. So I am from England. Okay. I still travel on an English passport.
I was going to say to Scott, mate, we all left England about 240 years ago.
Speak for yourself, mate. So first time listening to Nova from New Scotland. I've got a friend who lives in Nova Scotia.
Really?
From Melbourne guy. Love the show. He obviously hasn't listened to many episodes. Last week was quite good. Previous ones, not so much. Now, here's the problem. We might be saying all this to him.
Yeah.
And then from last week, he might have downloaded a couple of previous episodes.
Yeah.
We may never have heard him again. So, Scott, this is important for our self-esteem. I'm quite positive, but Bruce is a bit of a negative guy. You'll learn this as you go along. And he's probably already doubting that you're still no longer listening. So you have to do something on Facebook. Let us know you're still there. It's important.
Hit the Facebook page, Scott. Let us know you're still there.
Did he think he was just saying hello?
No, he was just saying g'day. He just said he loved the show. Whereabouts in England are we from?
It shows how little entertainment they must have up there in Scotia, though.
Hey. Scott, just in case
we go on, yeah. I must say also, because Scott loved this. Being Canadian, he obviously loves ice hockey. Because they all do. It's a law.
Okay.
I have a ice hockey jersey, from the 2006 Canadian ice hockey Winter Olympic team.
Right.
Limited. That was actually the team jackets. The band that played before the opening of the Canada versus Russia game, or the big game, there's a band played on stage, and the Canadian ice hockey team made a Canadian ice hockey jumper for each band member with their names on the back.
Right.
And I've got the lead singer's jumper.
So who was the band?
Bare Naked Ladies, Canada's second favourite band.
Right. After?
The Tragically Hip.
Right. Of course. How could I not know that?
The Tragically Hip are such a monstrously huge Canadian band. Do you know how big the Tragically Hip are in Canada?
No idea.
This is how big they are. Their lead singer recently was diagnosed with a brain tumour.
Right.
Unoperable. And they were going to play their last ever show. It was going to be broadcast all the way around Canada. But because you've got a TV station, but it was their last concert was right in the middle of the Olympics, the last Olympics that just went by, whatever that was, in Rio, in Brazil. So the Canadian broadcasting stopped their Olympic broadcast to play the concert.
Wow.
You think of how much they would have paid for the Olympic TV rights.
Wow.
This is how big this band was. This band's last ever concert was so enormous. And in Rio, they had a whole room with all the athletes from Canada in watching the concert.
Wow.
This band is their Beatles, their Rolling Stones.
Yeah, right. Wow.
So,
okay.
And I say, if you like a good tune, they're not a bad band either.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, Scott, yeah. I used to live in Vancouver.
Right.
And got into the Tragically Hip back in 96 when I was over there. The Trouble at the Hen House tour, it was from memory.
Right. So is that West Coast or East Coast?
What?
Vancouver.
Nova Scotia.
Vancouver.
West
Coast, right.
Okay. Nova Scotia's East Coast. We're opposites.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So anyway, as I was going to say, Scott, I'm not sure if you were being facetious or if you honestly thought we were from England, but no, we're from Australia, mate. So.
And we're not used to anyone saying anything straight on this show, so
no,
we'll take it as facetious.
Yeah, exactly.
We should say Pobber, mate, and bloody beauty a few more times.
That's exactly, that's exactly
now,
right.
International listeners, eh, might understand.
Dear, oh, dear. So we only have one story from Adam this week.
Hey! Oh, is that not the right response? I'm taking on your negative vibes.
Yeah.
Grant, he's rubbing off on me. No, that doesn't sound right either.
This was on DIYphotography.net. The world's fastest camera captures the movement of light at 5 trillion photos per second.
Oh, I don't believe the editing in that.
I don't believe that.
I've heard of spray and pray technique for photography, but that's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah. 5 trillion photos a second.
Like, how do you... I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, what do you do with those photos? Put them in a book?
The thing is, well, nothing can travel faster than light, so how can you have... No, I don't know. I give up.
That's not necessarily true.
Okay.
So if you're in a spaceship in space traveling at the speed of light,
yeah,
and alongside you is another spaceship traveling at the speed of light, all right, and you look over, and there's a kid there holding a ball.
Which you can't. You can't see the kid holding the ball.
Why not?
Because you and the kid and the ball are all flat as a pancake already.
Assume you can travel at the speed of light without being flat as a pancake. You see the kid with the ball, and he throws the ball forward.
He doesn't.
It's going faster than you.
He can't.
Why can't he? His arm doesn't move?
That's right.
What if he sneezes? What if you turn the headlights on?
Theoretical physics is not your strong suit, is it, mate?
It's like beer curtain sink and everything's there backwards. I don't understand. Very strange.
Anyway, that link will be there in the show.
Scott, new listener Scott, eh? This is not the normal quality of our podcast. Tonight's quite a good episode.
Dear, oh dear.
I photographed a wedding on the weekend.
Oh, yes. How did that go?
Killed me. I had to have a 3-hour nap on Sunday.
What time did you start on Saturday?
I started at 10:30.
Right.
And I finished at 8:30.
Right.
But I have this problem at the moment called plantar fasciitis.
Which is?
Which is a nerve pain problem, a nerve inflammation.
Oh, this is your tennis elbow.
Tennis elbow. No, this is on my feet, though.
Oh.
So plantar fasciitis is the nerves that go around the base of your heel. So every time you take a step, it's like a knife being stabbed into your feet.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Incredibly painful. And it's in both feet. So every step. I've had it for about 9 months. So it just shows what kind of a man I am. I haven't even mentioned it yet. That's how tough I am.
Yeah.
You might never hear the end of it now. So every single step for those 10 hours was agony. Yeah, to the point where I was absolutely physically exhausted from moving. I could hardly even lower my legs anymore at the end of the day because the pain was so intense.
So what's caused it?
It's like an RSI kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
It's got a terrible name, a common name called old man heel.
Right.
It's not very nice for plantar fasciitis.
All right.
So it takes years to get over.
Right, that was my next question. Is there a treatment regime for it?
Well, there is, but it basically involves rolling a golf ball under the arch of your foot.
Okay, and have you been doing that?
Now, come on, how long have you known me, Bruce? Yeah.
Long enough.
Is that a rhetorical question?
Right, okay.
Don't play golf. Bruce, I don't play golf.
You don't need to play golf to have a golf.
So the wedding was good. The wedding, it was interesting. They had a Japanese sake ceremony halfway through the ceremony.
Right.
Which was different.
Did that ease the pain in your feet?
No, because I didn't have any of it because I was working, I've known this girl for 30 years.
Right.
And I never thought she was going to get married.
Right.
And she finally did. And so it was really emotional. It was lovely to see that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard to photograph a ceremony when you're not really sure what's coming up.
Yeah.
you're photographing a sake and they're drinking out of these three little bowls and sharing it around. And it was in a field, in a forest, which is kind of weird, and it wasn't very Japanesey. And,
okay.
Yeah, so it was out under all the trees and stuff.
Right. When you said there was going to be a sake ceremony, I just naturally assumed it would be in a tent or a hall or something.
No, we're standing outside in a bit of grass, grassy area between the trees.
And the weather was
Poured it down all the way as I was driving down. They absolutely bucketed it down.
No kidding.
Didn't rain for the entire ceremony. Then we saw the moon rise and the stars out come nighttime.
Oh, lovely.
So it actually turned out really well.
Nice.
It was a tough day. The worst thing was, by the time it came to doing the creative photos, the more interesting stuff, I was so done in from pain.
Yeah.
Especially when you had to squatting down. Imagine like your heels are burning on fire.
Wow.
And so I'm squatting, trying to shoot and do an off-camera flash, and my feet are just I'm standing in flames.
Oy, oy, oy.
It was so hard to do anything creative because I was just so exhausted. So I got a few decent shots, but not as much as I would have liked. But I'm happy with them.
I didn't even get to ask you last week. Did you have a second shooter with you?
No, just me.
Just you, right.
Because it was a friend. It was for a friend.
Yeah, right.
I had a Vals, had the wife holding the flash.
Oh, yep.
And that was kind of it. And so I did a few flash shots, and yeah, it was a fun day.
Yeah, cool.
It was good because I didn't have to make conversation with people, because I'm not the most sociable of people. And so it was going nice.
Sorry, can't talk. Working.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Oh, look at that! Walk off and take a photo or something. It's great. Yeah. So that had its benefits.
Yeah.
So I'm doing another one in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I've warmed up for it.
Are your feet going to be okay?
Oh, yeah, they're okay by the next day. It's just that length of time on them actually doing stuff.
Oh, right. So they weren't hurting at the beginning of the day?
Oh, they are, but not. They hurt all the time.
Right.
Like they've been hurting all the time for 9 months.
You can
get used to a certain amount of pain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
But then when it goes like tenfold from that, it's just too much.
Yeah,
right. But I had fun. It was a good day.
Excellent.
Lens culture and modification of rape. What's that all about?
So this was something that I saw on petapixel.com, and it was Lens Culture is a website who is running a photo competition in conjunction with Magnum Photography. And the image that they were using as sort of like the headline image for this competition entry was a picture taken by a photographer of an underage teenage sex worker with a client. And the client is, you see his naked back and she's under him. And it was like, this was the image they chose to use to try and generate interest in this photo comp.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it does not. And the interwebs were not particularly thrilled with their choice of headline image.
Go on.
It's interesting. I had to follow a few links to actually find the entry to the competition. And by the time I saw it, which was only about 12 hours after I'd first seen this story, the image had already been changed to something far more family friendly. But yeah, it just seemed like such a weird choice for an image for a photo comp. I mean, obviously, they were after, realism and grittiness and, real life portraiture and that sort of stuff. But it still just seemed like an odd choice of an image. So.
Their apology says, on Friday evening, we posted a single photo from a long-term, 4+ years, project on the subject of child sex trafficking and forced prostitution in West Bengal. Our intention in sharing this work was to bring attention to an important subject being covered through the work of a dedicated documentary photographer. However, the way we presented the work took the image out of context. We made a serious mistake in judgment, and despite removing the post as soon as we realised the mistake, we want to apologise to the photographer, the woman pictured, and to everyone who found offence at the out-of-context post. We'd like to emphasise that we believe the work of the photographer was carried out with great ethical care and in close collaboration with the subject portrayed. By contrast, our own posting was hasty and presented the situation without proper context. We apologise again for the careless nature in which the work was shared. We encourage those who are interested in learning more about this topic of ethical reporting on children to refer to the informative guidelines put together by UNICEF. And then there's a link.
Yeah. It strikes me that they only did that after the interwebs went crazy at them.
Pretty much. It's just, it's very bizarre.
Yeah.
The image itself. It's
not even a great photo. I mean, maybe in the context of that particular story and long-term photography project, maybe, you know, the image had some relevance, but as a standalone image,
yeah,
and not directly associated with that particular story, it's just a really odd choice.
So what I'd like to see them do is donate all the money raised in this photo competition now to UNICEF.
Yes.
Let's see that.
Yes,
because they're in it for the money. Yeah. Speaking of photo competitions, let's get past that horrible one to an even worse one.
Yeah, exactly.
For different reasons. Have you seen the one I'm talking about?
Is this the photographer wins his own photo contest?
That's the one.
This was on DIYphotography.net as well. And this guy, Sal Cincotta or Cincotta?
Cincotta,
okay.
Yeah.
Has recently been selected as the winner of Shutterfest photo contest in several categories. It wouldn't be strange if Cincotta himself wasn't the owner of Shutterfest.
He won, I think, 5 first places, 6 second places, and a few third places.
And then defended himself by saying that it was all, you know, blind judging and, you know, no one knew what they were judging for. But in no other contest would the organizer enter their own work. Like, you just don't do that.
It just... Well, I've been thinking about photo contests in after this.
And thinking of running your own, mate?
Well, no, we're going to run a Shutterstink one.
Right.
So I'd like to introduce for next week the Shutterstink Ellen Crom off-camera flash, modelled in purple dress, photographed on Tamron lenses using Lexar memory and by a person called Glenn competition.
Fantastic. I can't wait to see the entries.
Let's set the parameters. That is bizarre. How would you... And he blames trolls for having a go at him.
Yeah.
He goes about, all, but I've won all these other competitions and all this other stuff and blah, 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 blah. It's like, yeah, but this is your competition.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
You just...
and the problem is he's supposed to be trying to teach people.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
What have you just taught the community?
But here's the thing. In some ways, I don't have a problem.
Really?
In that he could set up a competition, a blind judging competition.
Yep.
Get himself and 4 or 5 of his other contemporary photographers with the same sort of skill.
Yep.
And get people to submit photos on a certain theme, and they will also submit photos on a certain theme, and try and beat the experts.
Right.
And if your photo is selected by these blind judges as being better than Sal Cincotta's work and his mates, woohoo, you've beaten the judges. Yeah, it's a whole beat the pro type photo competition.
Right. So you're saying be open about your entry into the comp.
And then your challenge then is to come up with the best. So you're being pushed to challenge to get the best images you possibly can on a certain theme to try and beat the people you look up to.
Yeah.
Imagine if you go out and beat Joe McNally in a photo competition.
You'd never shut up, Adams, would you?
It's it'd be kind of a cool thing. But you're going into it knowing that, okay, in all reality, these guys are awesome and my chances are pretty slim. But wow, what a great honor to even be able to have this chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That's okay. Not going in and blindly putting in all these entries and winning multiple different categories. It's just... Like, just not on.
Wouldn't you, I don't know, I was going to say, wouldn't you retract your work when the judges picked it? But, I mean, you just wouldn't enter it in the first place. Jeez.
Oh, God.
Unbelievable. Now, last week, actually, we'll do the last one, which is the 5 tips, because I know how you love your lists, mate.
I love a good list.
5 tips. For when you feel inadequate as a photographer.
And you've only got 5.
Well, I didn't make the list. I just found it on the web.
I could off the cuff, for about 20, I could win that competition.
So number 1 is the imposter syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you feel like you're going to be found out for being a fraud.
Every single photographer I've ever met.
Yes. And I love the quotes that are included in this. Sometimes I wake up in the morning before going off to a shoot and I think, I can't do this, I'm a fraud. Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
Then there's a bit about the thing about feelings.
Nothing more than.
And feelings are not truth. They're just opinions.
Exactly.
And they change with various moods, and they come and they go. So, you know, don't get hung up on that. And then there's the heart of photography.
What's that?
You had to ask me before I'd read it, didn't you?
One thing you might make you feel really bad about yourself is the perceived success of other photographers. Oh, I hate them. That Cincotta guy winning all the photo competitions. Yeah. Just look at them. Thousands of likes and popularity. And you, 2 likes, including one from your mum. Yeah. Your Facebook and your tweets, you only get silence returns. So what?
Anyway, so that's there for anyone that wants to have a squiz at that. And the last thing that I had on my list was a video from Joe Edelman, who I mentioned last week, and I really liked this. It was all about the future of modeling.
What did you mention him for last week?
Because I was saying how I discovered his YouTube channel.
Oh, yes.
And I was absolutely loving it, devouring heaps of videos on there, and that it was sort of getting me wound up and wanting to start shooting again. And this particular one was all about the future of modeling, and he was talking about how modeling portfolios, if not in the next 12 months, certainly in the next 5 years, are going to feature as much video content as they do still content. Uh-huh. And he includes in his video a combination video and still portfolio that his, I don't know if it was one that he put together or if somebody else had put it together, for this young model, and, you know, and to a nice music soundtrack, and it just gives you a really all-encompassing idea of what this girl is like as a model.
Yeah.
Because you're not only seeing stills, which, you know, obviously are just one moment frozen in time, but you're getting to see the way she moves, the way she walks, the way she smiles, the way she laughs and talks, yeah, and all that stuff. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting.
So much work, though.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But obviously, you know, if you want to differentiate yourself as a, particularly as a portrait photographer,
yeah,
and you've got an SLR that is capable of shooting video, then, you know, maybe this is something you need to consider as an extra string to your bow, and, you know, something that will then, like I said, differentiate you from every other photographer out there. So I just thought it was an interesting video and well worth a look for anyone that's sort of interested in pursuing that stuff.
Now, good mate Scott.
Yeah.
Our good mate, Canadian mate Scott, yeah. Eh? He said he got, he's a first-time listener from Canada, got the link from Facebook from Joe Edelman.
Yeah.
So is he pumping us up?
He is. Because what happened was after I posted last week's episode,
yes,
I liked one of Joe's photos on Instagram, and I commented on it and said, hey, Joe, it's a great name for a song there, gave you a shout-out on the podcast.
Hey, Joe. Oh, he said, hey, Joe, the great name for a song. That makes sense.
Gave you a shout out on the podcast last week, blah, 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 blah. He came back and went, oh, thanks heaps. You know, if you ever want me to come on board, yeah, give us, love to, you know, if you want me to join you on the podcast, love to. And so I've organized, I was going to mention this after we'd finished recording, but I'll mention it now. Next Saturday, the 13th, I will be recording a chat with Joe on Skype.
Why will you be? What about us?
I was going to say, if you're free, if you're not
I'm
working.
Not free.
No, well, that's I've kind of figured
out. What time are you doing it?
I think it was 11 a.m. my time,
yeah,
our
I'm working.
Time. Yeah, I thought you would be, which would be about 9 o'clock Friday night for Joe. So he said, you know, we've exchanged a couple of emails, and he said, yeah, what do you want to chat about? And so off the top of my head, I went, how about think of a shoot that went pear-shaped and how you dealt with that in the heat of battle? And if you can provide images, both outtakes and keepers, you know, that sort of support that story, I thought that would be interesting. Oh, Glenn's just dropped out. Probably didn't charge his battery. Do I try calling him back? I will give him a go. We'll see what happens. But here comes the text. Dolt, battery flat at 39%. Give me a mo. He is hopeless. How many times do we have to go through this? You would think that he would know by now that Thursday night is podcast recording night. Hey, I should probably charge up the laptop. Unbelievable. Anyway, so...
Oh, there you are.
I'm here.
I'm here now. Just change computers.
How many times have we done this?
What?
Podcast.
39%.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that Apple rubbish for you.
So you record... You're recording without me. You could have even tried to set up a time where I could be there too.
Well, it's because of the time difference.
It's like Mate, we're in the same time.
Yes.
Melbourne City, same time, dude. Yeah. I know you live in the country out there, but same time.
No, between us and Joe is 17
That's
hours.
That's the only time you could do it,
was
it?
It was, yes.
Yeah, you just knew I'd be working all day. Anyways.
Well, look, you know, we can certainly aim for, you know, another time when all three of us can get together.
Not feeling the love. There used to be love.
There's always
love. See how negative you're being? Right.
Did you hear what I was saying about theme?
No, missed it. What theme? This right. Is a theme.
So he asked me. We traded a couple of emails, and he said to me, "Is there something you'd like me to talk about?" And I said, "Well, how about a shoot that went pear shaped, and how you dealt with that in the heat of battle, and if you've got you know some images, both outtakes and keepers that." You know, maybe support that story. So that was kind of what I threw at him as a potential topic of conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I think so.
It's shit that goes wrong.
Well, not that goes wrong, but, I'm sure you in past days have had unexpected things occur in shoots.
Yeah, I've got some good photos. That was fairly unexpected.
So anyway,
we laughed and laughed and laughed.
Exactly. So anyway,
so I've got one cool thing to talk about this week.
Oh, okay.
Smart watermarks.
Right.
So there's this company called the website's called exif.co. Okay.
Okay.
So what it is, basically, it's a site that you funnel your work through. I assume I haven't actually read it, but this is what makes sense to me. It works. You funnel your work through.
Yep.
And share onto your social media platforms and whatever, blah, 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 blah. And it traces where it is. But if anyone tries to download the image, it automatically puts a watermark on it.
Right.
So your images are online without watermarks, which makes them look really nice, especially rather than having down the bottom corner, which doesn't stop anybody. But if someone tries to download the image, all of a sudden it's all over the image. It's watermarked.
Right.
Which is really clever. That's just the best all-round use of it.
Yeah.
And it's also a tracing system, so you can trace where those images are taken to and who's downloaded them, if they're being used somewhere else and everything else.
Right.
So to me, it's like a great solution for people worrying about posting images on the internet.
Yeah, right.
I thought it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
One of the best uses of technology I've seen in a long way.
Nice. And the service is available now?
Yes, yeah, it's up and going now. And what's the price?
Is there a price to use it?
Pricing, right? This must be how many views. So if you're like me, you should be okay. 10,000 views for $3.
Oh, okay. That's fairly affordable.
Well, it is, because once 10,000 people have accessed your image, it goes for another $3.
Oh, it's per image?
Per image.
Ooh, yoy, yoy.
Yeah, but if you're doing this professionally, and you're putting that's easy to build into a price of a job.
Oh,
but if you're out there, you're putting really high end work up there that you think someone might get access to.
Yep,
and actually want to use for some actual purpose rather than just a wallpaper in the background. That's a negligible fee.
You know, or some dodgy magazine that decides to steal your photo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it just seems to work a trend. It's a very smart system. And so you get your images looking beautiful online, and only as soon as someone tries to access it, bang, does it get slapped with a watermark all over.
Nice.
So I saw that. I thought, hey, that's pretty clever stuff.
Excellent.
So that's all I got.
Cool. All right.
And of course, Hilda, the dedicated show to Hilda, and yeah, and of course it's the Hilda Scott show now.
That's
course,
right.
Yeah. You know, it's a Hilda Scott A show.
Yeah. Right. Excellent.
Anything else? Is that it?
I'm done.
We're done.
We're done.
It's hardly worth me coming back online after that flat
battery. Exactly. Well, while you were gone, I was saying to the listeners, how many times have we done this podcast? You would think by now he would know. Thursday night, podcast night. Maybe I should charge the laptop.
It was on 100% when we started.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why do you run off battery?
Because I'm too lazy to unplug the cable-y thing and plug it in up here.
Seriously?
Jeez. You know me by now. You think I tell you lies? I may be negative, but I'm positive about that. Yeah, it does run. It's an old battery, so it does tend to run down a bit quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Especially when it actually cuts out at 39%, yeah, which is theoretically still a fair bit of battery life left. You know?
Theoretically, yeah.
It should have gone the whole show. Yeah. Oh, well, mate, you have a lovely night and a lovely week.
You too,
and we shall talk next week.
All right, see ya.
And we can wish our 8 listeners good night.
Absolutely.
That's if Scott's come back again. Yeah. Remember, Scott, the pressure's on you. You've got to show up on Facebook and say something to show you're still there.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
All right, so I guess we should hear from David Marland. What have you got for us this week, David?
Thanks, Bruce. Digital Photo Magazine is a monthly British photography magazine. It caters for both the learner and more advanced photographers. This book, The Complete Digital Photo Handbook, is published by the Digital Photo Magazine and authored by Philip Andrews. And many parts are edited versions of how-to articles from the magazine itself. I confess, I'm always a little wary of something entitled complete, especially with a blurb that proclaims that it's to be the only guide you'll need to be able to shoot and produce brilliant images. The magazine itself is written in a very approachable style and certainly helped me when I first started out more seriously in photography over 10 years ago. The book is a similar style. The book covers equipment, camera skills, projects, and imaging techniques. Every subject has got a little two-page spread with plenty of photos, well-laid-out boxes and example diagrams. It's well presented to learn at a glance. For me, though, the basics about camera technique are just not quite there. For example, composition is a brief two-page overview about the rule of thirds with a couple of notes of basics like lead-in lines, but nothing else. Aperture per se is not very well explained, but there is more emphasis on depth of field as a creative tool later. But how that works is not technically laid out. But I guess that's the point. Rather than being highly technical, this book focuses more on being creative and looks at tools to support that creativity rather than big dissertations on the technicalities of the tools. After the basics area, there's an extensive section on using Photoshop. And again, the primary focus is on what you might want to create with Photoshop and how the techniques can be used to support what you want to create, rather than, oh, look at all these techniques. I think this is a strength of the book. For example, there is a very simple introduction to layers. It's just a two-pager. But the next few pages contain a lot of processes and procedures to help you achieve particular effects utilizing layers. The final section of the book is about inspirational projects. Now, they've got over 30 photography projects describing the process from go to woe, very stepwise, very simply laid out. In these areas, they introduce further techniques that were covered in the earlier section, so they extend the skills further. Who would be the market for this sort of book? Well, I think it's very much for beginners and semi-advanced users that don't want to muck around with a lot of theory. And they want to see things in a simple form on how to achieve what they want to. It's a dipping book where you can idly flick through and consider new approaches. Certainly its strength is in the Photoshop use and the project's parts, rather than the camera and lens bits. Booko's got the Complete Digital Handbook by Philip Andrews, published in association with Digital Photo Magazine by Carlton Books, from $22.22 to $50.50. Now, be careful. Get the 2015 edition. The earlier edition was called the Complete Digital Manual and is not as up to date. Cheers.
How interesting. I know Philip Andrews. He used to be an Adobe ambassador back in the day when I was an Adobe ambassador for Asia Pacific for Adobe Audition and Adobe Soundbooth. They're two audio editing apps. Phil is a lovely guy, and he's now moved on to other things in his life. He still takes photos, but he's started a company that deals in digital publishing platforms. He's actually developed a digital publishing platform of his own and is marketing that around the world and going great guns. So, yeah, interesting. Thank you, David. Much appreciated. Okay, that will do it for another week. Scott, looking forward to hearing from you on Facebook. And, until we speak with you again, take care.
ShutterZincPodcast.com.
Another AudioTeer.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZincPodcast.com.